Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red Robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Now and then you have a defeat that just doesn't seem that important. Yesterday was one of those occasions. Welcome to Charlton Live. I think he's gone, lads. I think he's gone. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. My name is Louis Mendez here live at the Valley on your Sunday evening. The Sunday evening, the first show since we found out that Roland du Châtelet has agreed to sell the club to the East Street Investments. It looks like he's, what, 4 or 5 years, his reign of error, as some people are calling it, is over. Excellent stuff. Right, joining me in the studio to celebrate and to eat the cake that Mark's bought on the right-hand side, a man who was in his mid-60s when Roland du Châtelet first set eyes on the Valley. And Terry, how are you?
I'm all right, yes. Yeah. Not bad for a geezer who's, what now, 102 or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the middle, a man who went out and baked a cake the second he heard the news. Mark Newbury, how are you doing?
Just getting over it, really.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
well, excited. Is the cake that bad?
And also on the left-hand side is Mr. Lewis Cat. Lewis, you've got a big smile on your face.
I've had worse weekends, mate. Yeah, I will say that. I've had worse weekends.
It's not often we're this cheery after a 3-1 home defeat, is it?
I know.
When we're all,
sorry, was there a game yesterday?
Yeah, we're all sat here with a sickness bug that we've contracted from the players and everything. So on tonight's show, of course, we will talk about yesterday's game against Sheffield Wednesday, but we are going to focus mainly on the takeover here at the Valley. Still awaiting EFL approval. So we could look very stupid in a few days' time, but
and not for the first time.
Yeah, but you know, we're going to talk about that. We want to know all of our listeners how it makes you feel. The fact that Roland du Châtelet has agreed to sell the club, a done deal, as is the phrase. Let us know. studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can email us. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say on the breaking news that came out on Friday morning, Terry. It came completely out of the blue.
Utterly, yeah. I mean, as some people know, and I want to thank them for their best wishes, I had a birthday on the Friday. And
completely overshadowed by more important things.
Well, exactly. But the way it panned out, it panned out for me is, one or two, was I also had visitors from overseas. So I had to look after. So I had to pick them up in the morning. So, you know, I expect the odd one or two tweets and Facebook messages and as such of saying happy birthday. But the phone was going mental and buzzing away like a good one. And I couldn't answer it because I was actually dealing with it, with these visitors. So I'm thinking, oh, I've become very popular all of a sudden. No, I hadn't. So when I finally got a glimpse at it, which was a good, I think, hour and a half after everybody else had known, I caught the end. You know, because the first message you read tends to be the last one. And it's, but you're buzzing, and on your birthday as well, I think was the last one. I went, what are they talking about? So I had to backtrack all the messages I got to find out. And it's a case of, it can't go wrong, can it? I know it's got to wait for EFL approval and there is still that possibility. And while there is still that possibility that it might fall apart, I'm just waiting till the ink's dry on the, you know what I mean? I'd obviously, we all want it so badly, and we're that close, and the closest we've been, as you say, for a good few years now. So, let's hope so.
The EFL approval stage is one that, I mean, no one really knows how long it's going to take. I understand that process possibly started a couple of weeks ago, actually. And when asking relevant parties involved in the new lot, I was told how long is a piece of string. So we don't know how long it's going to take. But, I mean, estimates, maybe a couple of weeks, hopefully.
Well, traditionally, the EFL have only got one person employed, haven't they? Because it's the same person who then does the bookings and the sending off decisions. And so, you know, if he's on holiday or visiting relatives for the week, we're stuffed.
Yeah. Well, it might be. Mark, how did you find out? Because, I obviously get the press releases from the club, and it flashed up on my phone, East Streets Investments, blah, 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 blah. And I just, in my head, I thought, oh, great, look, someone sponsored one of the dugouts again. I thought it was Bristol Street Motors. And it's only when I read down it, I was like, oh, my God, this is actually happening. I mean, it took me completely by surprise.
Well, I was in my kitchen working, and the phone buzzed, and sometimes I look at it and sometimes I don't. And it was a cryptic message from a friend of mine, and I thought, that's odd. So I swiped straight to Twitter and saw a tweet from Big Dave, and said, you know, it's happening. And then I was like, this is crazy. So my thumb went crazy. I ignored what I was doing in the kitchen. You know, there was things burning, smoke going off.
And here's the result.
I don't care. And then tracking it down. And to be honest, there were tears. And I was trying to work away. And people were thinking, you're okay, chef. And I'm like, you can't explain to somebody what that moment felt like. I mean, you just can't. Because I think unless you've been part of the fan base who have suffered for the last X amount of years with false hope and insecurities and everything was going on, to have that one moment where you go, you know, this is it, this is finally happening. So for me, it was, you know, when I got home and said to my wife about it, I said, you know, I found it hard just to not be emotional all day about it, which is strange in a way, but I think it's perfectly understandable.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, my heart was racing when I first saw the message. But when you sit down, you get over the shock and the excitement. You sit down 5 minutes later and you think about what, as a fan base, we've been through over the last, what's it, five, just coming up to 5 years now, isn't it? So it does take you back. We've been through a lot under this ownership, and to a football club that is obviously so close to all of our hearts, to finally be coming out at the end of a difficult period. And, you know, on the pitch, things perhaps are, you know, that they're certainly, it's certainly looking up. You know, we've had that promotion. There's certainly a solid foundation there. There's a manager who knows exactly what he's doing. All these things. And then now we just needed that one extra bit to just put this horrible era behind us. And you think of the arguments, the protests, you know, people falling out with their own mates over stuff like this. All of that could be about to be behind us, Lewis. And that's what when I really sat down and thought about it, that's what really sort of brought it home to me.
It's just incredible. I mean, as you say there, it's not just like it's been rough on the pitch. Everything has been a bit of a downward spiral from the moment they walked in the door. You know, we had it with, you're not just looking at poor results, you're looking at players coming in that nobody had heard of. You're looking at managers being overruled by owners. You're looking at fan protests at every game. You know, people on the pitch. I'll never forget the scenes at that Burnley game. And people are all over the pitch, and we're heading back into League One, and we're going backwards. And they promised so much coming in with the, we want to be a Championship side with Premier League ambitions. Then we found ourselves in League One two seasons after that, struggling in there. We went through managers again with with Russell Slade, and the recruitment was off there. And then all of a sudden, Lee Bowyer's come in, a bit of a Charlton man, and under such ridiculous constraints has managed to turn the good feel factor around for the whole club. And we had that, you know, we had the one of the best days, I imagine, of many, definitely mine, but many Charlton fans' lives back in May. And the feeling on Friday when I saw that news on the train was as it was. We had a conversation a few days before, me and my mate, saying, "I'm so gutted. I'll never feel the happiness I felt at Wembley ever again." And then 2 days later, that news pops up on your phone. And honestly, I was sat on a phone on the train. I could not stop shaking. I didn't know what to do. I was refreshing it to see if it was a parody account. I was looking at every single media outlet I could to see if it was real. I was trying to see if there was anything on the Charlton website, and it had crashed because everyone was doing the same thing. And, you know, I really do pray, and I touch every single bit of wood I can see to hope that there are no more bumps in the road and this could really be it for us. Because if any football club on this planet deserves a break, it's us. Because we've made our own luck recently. We've had no support from anybody. And Bowyer has really pulled everybody together, rebuilt a club with no support at all from above. And now could be the time that he gains his security that he deserves. The players gain the security that they deserve. And we as supporters can finally put that chapter away and move on.
Yeah, once I decided how I needed to celebrate as well, it's Friday. I always go and get a cappuccino on Friday. And I went for a large instead of a medium.
You
reckless boy.
Let's talk about what we know about the makeup of the new consortium then, because we don't really know a great deal about them yet, if we're being honest. So obviously East Street Investments, as soon as you hear that, you think, oh, they've done a bit of research there. That's 30 seconds on Google, because you know you find that the street that the club were formed on, now East Moore Street, but it's down at down near the Thames Barrier.
Well, the East Street Mission was the catalyst, wasn't it, for starting the club?
So you hear something like that, you think, oh, that's a nice touch, but you want to know more about it. So you go into, you know, looking at what the club website. So Matt Southall was the man who's going to be the chairman. He was here yesterday. We'll talk more about him in a few moments' time. Turned out, as soon as the story broke, I then got a text from Ollie Groom saying, you know, he's been following you on Twitter for a while. So he's done, he's done a bit of homework, this guy.
Well, I'll be checked up on whatever you put out.
Yeah, well, you can imagine. Yeah. But now this appears to be the real money man. So we're going over to Abu Dhabi now. His Excellency Tanun Nimir is the director. What it says on the club website is the chairman of a big business over there, which is part of the office of Sheikh Sayed bin Tahun Al Nahan. I mean, if I'm being honest, that meant nothing to me. I tried to do a little bit of research on that, and it's quite hard to find out too much about it. But as soon as you hear the words Abu Dhabi, and of course this guy is going to be the majority shareholder in East Street Investments, so he's effectively the owner, the new Roland, I guess, hopefully not literally, but what you're looking at. So when you hear about that, and then you look at, I mean, again, there isn't much out there, but you look at what's online so far, you know, money, you know, they're going to be replacing the water and the taps with oil, because that's how rich we are.
Yeah, which would taste lovely.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, because you don't know. Tanun Nimir is the chairman of the office and runs oversees the running of 60 companies for the Sheikh. Basically, it's the Sheikh Tanun Al Nahan. So the Sheikh himself is worth, they say, 18 billion. The Nahan family is the richest family in the region, shall we say, 150 billion. But I don't know to what extent that family or the Sheikh himself has in the East Street Investments. That Tanun Al Nahan is, and he runs their companies for them. You wouldn't expect that for running their companies for them, they wouldn't have some influence.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I've been told, again, by someone on the side of the new people is that we need to be aware it's not the family that own us. No. It is the chap here, Tanun Nimir, who will be the owner, so not the family. But what the difference is between that, because, like, say, you know, I mean, that again, that may well come out in the wash. That may well be what the EFL have to look into. They need to know where the money comes from. They need to know how these things work as well. There's a third director or a second director as well called Jonathan Heller, who is the CEO of the Abu Dhabi Business Development. So I do wonder if he's going to be director. And obviously, a CEO is a job that's going to need filling over here. So if he's the CEO over there, will he be involved with that? We don't really know yet. So I did obviously spend, as soon as we got over the initial shock on Friday morning and the excitement and the extra large cappuccino, which that fuels me to spend the morning on the phones and to try and find out what I can. And, you know, Matt Southall was probably the easiest name out of the lot to try and research because he's the only one who seemed to have a real presence in English football in a way. Before Friday, in terms of his name was linked with a takeover at Aston Villa back in, I think it was summer 2018. I've since been told that was a very fleeting interest, and apparently there wasn't too much in that. But more notably, his name, his face was seen around the time that Lawrence Bassini was trying to take over Bolton Wanderers earlier on this year. Now, Lawrence Bassini used to own Watford a few years ago. I think that sort of ended in a bit of tears, and the takeover at Bolton was a bit farcical as well. So then you see Matt Southall's linked with that. So I try and work some phones and see if anyone knows anything, but it's hard to get any real information about what his role would have been in that consortium, how close he is to Bassini. Bassini doesn't seem to have anything to do with this thing. We don't need to worry about that. And so what we've effectively got here with Matt Southall is, well, we'd like to know more about you then. You're a clean slate. Let's see what you've got to offer.
According to the press report, he comes across as a sort of go-between guy between Middle East companies and the UK. So, and therefore probably a facilitator between interested parties and things up for sale. So I'm hoping, and I don't know, and probably we'll never know, but quite what to what extent he has connections with people who own these places, who have the money, like Bassini or even the one at Watford. I don't know. Or at Villa, sorry. I don't know. So is he just somebody who knows people?
That seems to be the
more likely explanation. Mm.
So what happens next, I guess, Mark, is obviously we've got to wait for them to get the EFL approval, but as a club, we'll be thinking about, well, where do we want to go next? What do we want to see from these people? What do they want to do? They've obviously tried to make a good impression so far, so you know, we're all laughing about the pies in the press room, but that was a nice touch because, you know, we haven't been fed for a while, and given us
they were like vultures in there yesterday. Eyes, they disappeared in about half an hour.
Scoop hasn't eaten for 2 years, so that was a nice touch. But you know, he showed his face. He went into Crossbars. He had his photo with a few people. I mean, I don't know if any of you saw the video I put on Twitter last night. He got a superb reception. Yep. You know, all he's got to do is turn up and not be Roland Du Châtelet, and that's what you get. And we've said that for years. All you've got to do is turn not up, be Roland, yeah. And you'll get a great reception. But now it's time for him to try and make his mark and try and steer this club in the direction that he wants us to go. So what would be job on day one, Mark?
Well, I think job on day one, he's already ticked that box. That statement which came out, which said, you know, they're the custodians, but it's for fans. And that was really touching for me. I mean, if that's Cobblers, you'd think, well, no, because that really like hit home with what they had to say, with like what we've gone through. I think it's a case, you know, you have to walk before you run. You know, we don't think we're going to be minted because, one, that puts the price up of mediocre players. Two, you've got Steve Gallen there, and him and Lee Bowyer are probably going to be looking at players who they can complement us without going mad. I mean, you're not. The only thing it'll be is that other clubs now know if we're going to be backed with money, you know, that could put another zero or another onto a contract negotiation. You know, that could go against us, but it's difficult. You know, I think the worst thing to think is, right, we're going to be challenging Man City in 2 years' time in a Premiership and then Champions League because we're going to have all this money. Because having money behind you doesn't automatically make you successful.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have the right base for any club. I mean, we've got a fantastic youth system, as we saw to some effect yesterday. You know, we've got a manager who gets the club. We've got coaches who are getting the club, and some one or two players who play for us now. You're thinking, you know what? Johnny Williams being an example. Take a wage cut to come to play for us. You know, and thinking loyalty like that, you reward. Mm. And like we said off air, you know, maybe be one or two players who are mediocre, who probably will realise the door's going to be hitting them on the bum as they leave. So, you know, walk before you run. That's what, yeah. You know, and don't expect too much too soon.
And obviously the main part of the stability is the manager, Lee Bowyer. Now, throughout the course of the first part of this season and, you know, the summer where we saw that ridiculous situation where he left and then came back within the space of about 12 hours, linked with jobs elsewhere, wasn't it? I can't even remember. Huddersfield was one. Mm-hmm. Cardiff was another. That's going to go away now because you know, the thing you've got to do first is sign up the manager, sign up the assistant manager, Johnny Jackson, sign up the goalkeeper coach, and sign up the head of recruitment onto proper contracts and build a foundation at the club.
Yeah, 100%. They're all assets to this football club, and it just proves how good they are at their jobs, given the results that they've produced in the conditions that they've had to work under. I mean, Lee Bowyer, the reason he's linked to all these clubs over the summer and continually now, you know, with the Cardiff job a couple of weeks ago and the Stoke job before that as well, is because he's making a name for himself in the world of management. He came into this with no experience, with no real, you know, no real hunger to get into football management. I think he was quite happy fishing in France, and he's come over and he's building something special here in a club where he started his career as a youngster, and he's won everybody over. The fans are all behind him. There's a really special feeling around that. And these new owners can come in now and they can really gauge that and use that to their advantage to make sure that they get everybody on side early doors. I mean, I don't want to set my stall too high with what we can achieve, because what has become quite special with this football club of recent days is that we've got players that, you know, we don't have any financial backing, right? And we create results and we defy odds every week because of the type of player that we sign and the mental attitude of those players that we bring in. The Josh Cullens, who, you know, he's on loan and he's a player that cares. You know, he's somebody that gives 100% every single week. Johnny Williams, who decided to take a pay cut to stay here to show loyalty because he wants to play under Lee Bowyer. Lyle Taylor as well, to an extent, if that can get sorted, that someone that likes working under Lee Bowyer and could have gone somewhere else if he wanted to. And I don't want to lose that core. I want to be able to have the Charlton that we've all fallen in love with of late, the Charlton that defy odds and battle every time, you know, they come up against someone as an underdog and prove people wrong. I want to keep that Charlton nucleus, but I just want it to be properly supported by an ownership that care and someone that can engage with supporters who have suffered so much over recent years, you know, entice back fans that have boycotted and get the valley bouncing again, bring in the numbers. There's so much they can do, and I think the footballing side, of course, we're going to need a bit of support because we see now the injury situation, albeit I think it's incredibly unlucky, is hampering us massively, and we are short in certain areas. But that squad is a good, a decent Championship squad, and I think the main thing that they're going to want to do when they come in is just secure everything else, get the fans back on side, get people through the door, and secure their key assets so that we can all move forward and build from there.
Right, let's have a listen to the thoughts of the man who has made the supporters fall back in love with the club over the course of the last 18 months or so. Lee Bowyer came to speak to Terry after yesterday's game with Sheffield Wednesday. We'll hear his thoughts on yesterday's defeat later on in the show. Terry did ask him about the takeover. The Addicts boss says he already has had a dialogue with the new ownership.
I've met them in person and obviously spoken to Matt over the phone. It's all positive. If they do get the green light and then the club is sold, then what they're saying is it sounds good, and it's the club's gonna move forward. Obviously that's what the fans have been wanting for a while, and I think they're gonna like what they hear once a takeover happens.
Was it tough at all to keep concentration levels, bearing in mind with everything else with the injuries and illnesses going on? Then you get that sort of news. Was it tough at all to concentrate on the footballing side?
No. But obviously for us, the sooner it happens, the better, because then we know where we're shopping in January. We'd need to know what sort of budget are we working to. So yeah, that's what we need to know. I know that it's not going to be, we ain't going to have crazy money, but we're going to have a bit, which is nice. So yeah, we're going to have some meetings next week and start putting some plans together for when it happens.
Charlton fans, players and management, like just a little bit of patience in this difficult period, because what's coming could be really positive.
Yeah. It's like I said, if you get the green light, then it's all positive, and we'll move forwards.
So there we go, Lee Bowyer. Clearly quite excited about what's going to happen.
We're officially going to have a bit.
Yeah, a bit of money. We can't talk about numbers or anything like that. He's not going to come out and say, yeah, we're the new Man City, name your price and we'll pay it for a player. But, you know, it's going to make a huge difference. That's the main thing. You know, we know we've been held back. We somehow still got promoted despite the shortcomings of the previous ownership last season. But we know we've been held back this season, and Boyer had to shop around a little bit. He's done very well to get a squad out there, and you know, he's had horrendous luck with injuries so far this season. But as you said, once the takeover goes through, he'll know where he's shopping, and I'm sure he's shopping. You know, it's Aldi or Waitrose, isn't it? That could be what the difference is here.
Yeah, I think it's more a case of he knew beforehand, you know, if this takeover wasn't taken through, then there's going to be no business in January unless we sell someone. That was pretty much the way it sounded like. If Lyle Taylor went, we'd have some of that money then to reinvest in trying to patch the holes up. The difference now, by the sounds of it, is we don't have to sell anybody to get any money in. So some money, a bit, will be available to strengthen what is a really depleted squad. Because, you know, we're going to have some people back by the end of next week, they reckon, but it's still going to be probably another 2 or 3 months before we get, you know, if nothing happened, it'd be 2 or 3 months before we get anything like a strong squad back. So to be able to do that as early as possible in January, when the transfer window opens, is huge. Mm. And by the sounds of it, and I think Boyer, I think, to reiterate what Lewis said, doesn't sound like they're just going to go mad at the situation, you know, and just say, right, we're going to buy 20 players. I mean, I guess there's a whole financial fair play thing to consider as well when you're splashing any sort of cash. So it sounds to me like they're going to try and do it properly and a little bit studiously. So, you know, we're not going to pull up trees, I don't think, in the first, you know, the next 6 months. But
it's not going to be like Man City when all of a sudden they signed Robinho on the...
Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
in the first transfer window.
And... I don't. We don't know whether Lee Boyer does or not. Whether he's just sort of blowing smoke, and he actually does know what sort of money he's going to get, or you know, we don't know actually how much these guys have got and how much they can invest immediately.
It's just the fact he turned up in that gold-plated car. Well, so you know. Over the top yesterday.
I think. Look, going back to again to what Lewis said and Mark said, you know, we all sort of when we got the news, hands shaking, and you know, it's almost like. We've already had something quite spectacular as Charlton fans at the end of last year that we couldn't quite believe that. That stuff like that doesn't happen to Charlton. Lee Boyer and what he's done with Steve Gallen and Johnny Jackson and all the backroom stuff, that doesn't happen to Charlton. Not very often anyway, and certainly not too many times in our lifetime. So for something like this to happen so soon after Wembley, it's just tough to comprehend. It really is difficult to comprehend. I think that's why quite a few Charlton fans, I think, are probably just holding fire on really going mad with the celebrations just to make sure that nothing goes wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's one question I guess we need to approach, Mark, is when Rowlands came in, I mean, everything was great. Oh, God, new rich owner coming in. Oh, he's got this new philosophy. Oh, this could be interesting. It'd be interesting how this works. I actually watched that Meet the Board video they made at the start earlier on today. I was trying to find some funny clips, but I couldn't really find anything appropriate. But, you know, there has to be some caution from the supporters because we're in a situation that we have been in before, because when a takeover happens, you think, here we go. We're gonna turn into the next Man City. You know, something great's gonna happen here, and it doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, true. I mean, we've sat here for the last 5 years, you know, on Sunday nights, thinking what's going to happen. You know, after Chris went, and then we had a procession revolving through the doors of managers. You know, we were a rudderless ship. We really were, and you know, we've got that rudder back in Lee Boyer. But like I said before, and I'm only going to reiterate it, you have to walk before you crawl. I mean, anybody would be better than Rowland. I mean, I think we had some list of people you'd rather have owned the club than him. And, you know, I think the Honey Monster was on there above him. And it's, you know, so I think we've got to be, you're right, cautious to a point. But I'm thinking, you know, this is a time almost for us to enjoy it. Mm. So... You know, why not enjoy it? Why not go? You know what?
Oh, yeah, no, don't get me wrong. Once it goes through and it's successful, no problem at all. I'm on the streets with a bottle of champagne. It's just that I can't quite believe this is happening type stuff for me. You know, you're right. Anybody is better than what we've got. Anybody. And then we'll deal with that anybody once we've got them. It looks to, on the face of it, that this is fantastic. And that's great. But until that ink's dry on the contract and the EFL say yes, then I'm just I'm just a little bit guarded.
Yeah. And you laugh, Mark, but you can guarantee that the Honey Monster would have ensured that the youth team were fed breakfast. So
he'd have come to summer games as well. Yeah.
Lewis, the takeover situation. Like I say, you have to walk before you can run. You will have these nerves, but it is a case of, I mean, it's a huge weight off our shoulders to get rid of Roland, no matter what happens next. It puts that period behind us, and that's important. And like I say, it's a clean slate. It's a chance for something new to start here. And you can't underestimate how different it felt yesterday around the ground. You know, we've lost games even this season where we've been sat in here a bit miserable after because we got beat. But we were in here, we had smiles on our faces yesterday. Boya seemed in a good mood yesterday, which he isn't always after a defeat. You know, everything just felt different yesterday. And as you always get with a new start and a fresh beginning, there's hope, and that's what we need.
Yeah, definitely. It's a feeling that we as Charlton fans haven't had. You know, we haven't been able to hope. We've gone into every transfer window over the last 5 years dreading what was going to happen. You know, we've attached to players that we've grown to love that we know we're going to lose in the summer, and we've had to deal with that, and now we're going to be able to sort of secure that a little bit and make sure that things are financially backed correctly, and even all the way down to the, like you say there, you know, we joke about the players like being fed breakfast and stuff, like the academy with the bottles of water and stuff like that. There were so many things, and you have to look back, there is an incredible timeline of howlers from the previous regime that it's just incredible that we're going to be able to put that behind us, because they are, some of them were just absolutely appalling. Like, it makes me angry even thinking about it now, and the fact that it feels so surreal that we're not going to have to put up with that anymore, because you almost become accustomed to dealing with it. You know, we have it, the amount of shows, the times we've sat in here thinking, oh, what is it, what's Roland going to do this window, oh look, it's Tuesday, what's Roland going to put on the website today? That's all gone now. We haven't got to worry about that anymore, and we're going to be able to move forward. And you know, once the new owners have come in and put a hot tub in the studio and all that, then it'll feel
do you
real.
Remember how happy we were when we got the new light?
Exactly.
Because
it's all going to go
never
up now.
It was going to happen under Roland, but we did get a new light, to be fair. But right, obviously this is the fans show, done by fans, and we always read out your supporters' opinions. I've been canvassing for opinions all day. I've also got a few clips of audio from supporters as well, and from the Supporters Trust, which we're going to hear later. We're going to go straight into the emails. First of all, this one's from Samuel Day. It says, Roland out. It's hard not to get carried away until the EFL approve the takeover, but I hope the new owners are willing to invest money into the club and bring stability. Essential now to get proper contracts for Boya and the players. The potential of the club is massive. Hopefully one day we can get back to where we belong. Bring on 2020. When Roland's out, we're on the drink. That's from Samuel Day. I tidied that last line up for you. This one's from Tom Mitchell. Evening, fellas. Absolutely over the moon about the news that Roland has gone. I've stuck with the club through the worst of times and never let Roland's reign turn me away from the club we love. Can't wait to see Aguero playing up top with Taylor. Have a good evening. That's from Tom Mitchell. This is from McSquare. It says, yet another disappointing result yesterday, but the importance of that pales into insignificance beside the fantastic news of the takeover and Roland's long overdue departure. This season was always going to be about staying in the Championship, so nothing has changed on that front, and hopefully there'll now be some money to strengthen the threadbare squad in the transfer window to help achieve that and give Lee Boya the contract he justly deserves. Now there is some hope for the future at last. Come on, you Reds. That's from McSquare. So that's just an inkling of some of the emails we've had in already. We're going to be having your emails, your comments, your tweets, your Charlton Live post as well over the course of the evening. But now I think I want to hear from the Supporters Trust. Now, of course, you know, we know fully well about the part that the coalition against Roland du Châtelet played in the protests over the years, in that whilst the supporters were very unhappy was what was going on here, the Supporters Trust was very much part of that. Supporters Trust never really had the respect, I imagine, of Roland du Châtelet that they wanted. They didn't get the dialogue that they wanted. They weren't able to explained to Roland where he was going, or certainly wasn't listening. I think that's probably fair to say. That will be a big part of what happens next, and I'm sure if Matt Southall's paying attention, which he appears he has been, he's been all over Twitter the last couple of days, he would have picked up on the fact that he knows he needs to communicate with the fans, and the Supporters Trust will be a big part of that. Now, Steve Clark is the vice chair of the Supporters Trust. We spoke to him on the phone earlier on today. And he tells us that the new chairman, Matt Southall, is off to a good start already.
I think we saw yesterday that our new chairman was in the bars and lounges, talking to people, talking to fans, engaging with them. And it's something we haven't had for 5 years, 6 years. So that has to be a positive.
So where were you when you heard the news? I'm sure, like most Charlton fans, when it came up on my phone, I was in a little bit of shock. What was your initial reaction when you first saw it?
I actually got a message from my daughter about it, so that was like the first clue. I mean, we know things have been going on, and they seem to have been going on forever, don't they? And then suddenly, out of the blue, it was all a sort of a done deal, particularly with an organisation that we don't think were on the radar before, although we've had so many, it gets a bit confusing. Mm-hmm.
Obviously not a lot is known about the new owners just yet, really, an Abu Dhabi sort of based consortium, I guess you might call it. Tanun Namir appears to be the main money man behind them. And what have you been your sort of initial reaction behind the people that have bought us, or is it probably slightly too early to tell yet?
Yes, we don't know, and I think as football fans, and particularly having been bitten a few times ourselves and seen so many others, we're always a little bit sceptical. I think there are three positives for me to come out of it, really, at least at this stage, and reason to be sort of optimistic is, you know, it appears that the organisation has a significant amount of money. How much is available to spend on Charlton, of course, we don't know, but certainly, you know, to run a top-level professional football club these days is a very expensive exercise, and they seem to have the money to do that. They come from football background. The people involved know football and know English football. So Matt Southall, you know, was on the junior books at Blackburn, wasn't he? And has been in football. So you know, one of the great problems with De Châtelet was he didn't know anything about football, wasn't it? That was his biggest issue. And then thirdly, they've made all the right noises about fan engagement and about wanting to do the right things. And, you know, as I say, we don't yet know how that will work out, but it's been a good start. And I think we should certainly give them the benefit of the doubt. But we're not being completely naive. We understand that, you know, there have been problems in football previously when things have looked very good and they've gone wrong. But hopefully this won't be one of them.
Well, what would be your main hopes for this new consortium, the East Streets Investments? What can you hope that they can sort of do, perhaps in let's say the first year? What would you hope they can do when they first start at the Valley?
Okay, I mean, the first thing I think, which I think everyone's saying, isn't it, is to get the management team, all four of those key management people, signed up. Liberia probably being the most important, if any of them are. But get them on sensible. I think Liberia said earlier in the year when discussing his previous contract, he just wanted it to be fair, you know. And I think, you know, came on a proper championship level contract with all the various, you know, bonuses, etc., included. And the same with the others. So you've got the sort of the stable base to it. We do need to bring some players in. I tend to think with our current injuries, any, however well-funded any club would be, they'd still struggle because we've had so many. But we have got some shortages around the pitch, and we do need to bring some faces in. January is difficult, but hopefully they'll do something then. But certainly for next summer, isn't it? I think the main aim, as you say, within the year, is that next summer we have a management team who are sort of stable. We have some new signings who are going to enhance the team and make us competitive in the championship. And you'd like to think this time next year we're in that battle for those top two positions or playoffs. So, you know, top eight or something, you know. It is very competitive, and there are a lot of other very well-funded clubs. So let's not pretend it's going to be easy, but let's at least be in there competing. I think that would be a good, for me, I'd be very happy with that.
And I guess something that there has been a problem over the course of the last few years has been perhaps engagement with the fans, and as vice chair of the supporters trust, I guess that the trust will be an organisation that are going to try and make sure there is a good link between this new ownership and the supporters.
Yes, and I think we've, you know, again, it's well documented, you know, all football fans, all clubs have got fans who've got a lot to offer. I think Charlton particularly, because I think we've got a history of it, as we all know. And it's a great free resource, isn't it? I mean, you know, we're not expecting the club to do exactly as we would like, because I'm sure they've got their own plans. But at least listen to us, at least understand why, you know, what we're suggesting and why we're suggesting it. And then, you know, hopefully incorporate some of that into what they're doing. Particularly in terms of developing the crowds, and we know, you know, the favourite work of the target 10,000 as it used to be all those years ago, and then target 40,000. did a lot of excellent work about increasing the numbers coming into the Valley, and it would be good to see that again, because it wasn't a bad crowd yesterday, and this season the crowds have been okay, but it would be nice to see them consistently over 20,000.
And just finally, I mean, we saw the reaction that Matt Southall got as he walked through Crossbars before the game yesterday. He clearly comes in credit, and I think purely because he isn't Roland Duchatelet, but I guess this is a real chance for a fresh start for the club.
Yes, I mean, I say it's not difficult to get on to make good progress at Charlton as an owner now, is it? Because what you're following is not a hard act to follow in any way. But as I say, I think the key thing with him and with the new people is that they do know football. I mean, he understands football. He knows what fans want and what fans are like. And there will be some fans, you know, we'll all be moaning about something at some point, I'm sure. You know, and we know that if we get, you know, excellent, good players in, that they're going to be, you know, we may be losing some of those again over time and all those things. We're never going to be completely happy with everything. But he seems to get it. And yesterday, I think, was an absolutely the right thing to do. I mean, he could easily have come along. I'm sure he's got a huge amount on his plate. He's obviously any chairman has got the visiting club's dignitaries to look after as well, but he made the effort to get into the bars and mingle with the fans, and as I say, I think he deserves credit for that, because it was, you know, clearly the best thing he could do.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's John.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero! Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Terry was making similar noises when he read that press release on Friday, weren't you, Tell? Yeah. Great
Absolute
to hear.
Abby Debbie Beauty.
Yeah, great to hear from Steve Clark there, from the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust. I guess one thing we haven't really talked about yet, Lewis, is this is the end of what has been, what, 3-4 years at least of protest. Yeah, and you forget years. So it feels like so long ago when the black and white, spell it out in black and white protest began. And it sort of morphed into the 2% thing, and then ended up in Card. There was various different groups, the Belgian 20 or Belgium 20 as well, who went out there, you know, took their fight overseas. You know, Card as well went over there. There was all sorts of different protests that people did online as well. The Charlton fans have probably, you know, no one will ever forget what happened in the return to the Valley, the Valley Party and all that. But when you look at what's happened over the last 3 or 4 years in terms of protests here at the club, I mean, again, that'll be something that, you know, 50 years from now, people will still be talking about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our fans have to take a huge amount of credit, and especially the organisations that were created. You know, you have to look back to, it was Joe Reid, wasn't it, that created the black and white.
Ben Hayes,
with the scarves. Back when we first started the protests, and I think that was back at Nottingham Forest. It was obviously years and years ago now, but it's gone all the way through. You know, a lot of planning went into those protests, and it would have taken a lot of time out of their lives to create that stuff. You know, we had the mock funeral all the way through to the big balloons down the street when we played Brighton, and getting them involved with protests and the pigs and everything else that's been missiled onto the pitch over the last few years that it was amazing. And you have to look at that and think that although maybe those protests didn't play an immediate part in getting the club sold, you have to look at it and think that too many owners in football get away with poor ownership and negligence and stuff. And us as supporters and organisations like Card and the Belgium 20, the Women Against Roland and all of that brought it to the headlines and put it in the public eye. And it was being talked about. You know, you look back at that Middlesbrough game with the mock funeral. They were all aware of that. You know, we were black and white, the beach balls. Everyone knew why we were doing it. And it put it out into the wider press. And it creeped its way over to Belgium. That really upset him, I can imagine. And
well, even today, there was someone, I think it was Rick, put a clip of a little news video out on a Belgian channel, and they were talking about Roland, and straight away they showed the fans over there protesting in Roland. It embarrassed him in his home country. And you're right to say that there was never going to be one protest where you turn up on a Saturday, you throw something on a pitch, and Roland goes, right, I'm out, and he's gone the next day. Nah. It was a war of attrition that lasted over the years, got it in, you know, put him under pressure, and eventually that pressure told and forced his hand and made him think. And even if it did take forever, it made him think, I want to get out. I want to get out of this place.
Yeah, we were patient as supporters, and we persisted through difficulty. You know, there were times where we would protest, and then he came out, he hurt our feelings when he came out and said that fans don't care about the club and they want the club to fail and things like that. That I'm not going to pay attention to a lot of that man says because I think he's full of rubbish, but at the same time that hurts supporters. You know, any owner of any football club shouldn't be saying things about that against the people that bring in revenue to the football club, that travel up and down the country to support their team, people that, you know, there are so many people that you see week in, week out that adore the football club. You know, we all do it. And with me, I'm a bit of a younger generation fan, but this is historic for me because I've been going to Charlton for a long time and the Premier League years, the Championship and stuff, but nothing has been more out there than this period of time that we've been through under Roland du Châtelet. You know, people sort of looking from the outside in, sort of laughing at what's going on. And then it gets to a point where actually they're like, no, this is ridiculous. Why is he not sold yet? Why is he not sold yet? And it ticks over and it carries on. And you end up talking about it and it almost just feels like a common knowledge. And you just sort of accept that we're going to be that basket case club that, you know, we're all behind them and we play all right football and stuff like that. But we're never going to be able to excel because we're being held back. And it's just like, I want to go back to Card and just say yesterday was amazing. Like giving out those scarves and stuff. It was so... It was a proper way to sign off.
Yeah, because of course the symbolic start of the protest was with the black and white scarves. Yeah. And now we're returning to red and white, and that was like I say, it was a great event. I was there when the supporters were queuing up to receive those scarves, and there was a lot of people with good moods there. We're going to hear from some of them later. I spoke to James and Elise. Whilst they were waiting for the scarves, we'll hear what they've made of the takeover so far. We'll email in from Martin and from Harley. Says, evening guys, I presume you're going to do your usual post-match talk. Not yet, maybe not so long tonight, still ain't gone on to it. But as long as you are, I'm sure you won't be able to resist moving on to the subject that makes us smile, and rightly so. But don't miss the sheer excitement of the FA Cup third round draw. Is this year the drawing of a top six club that we can look forward to as a potential talent that will join us in January, or knowing the luck are inevitable Gillingham away? As a family, we have stuck behind the team during the rat years, but are genuinely looking forward to the next era. Bring on the good times. Your FA Cup third round draws tomorrow. Is you're in a weird situation now where I really hope we do get a big club, because if still on the rolling, you think, I hope we don't, because I don't want to get a penny out of it. But there we go.
Get Man City away and have the Abu Dhabi derby.
I think it's almost written in the stars, that one, isn't it?
Right, yeah. Simon Goldsmith. Hi guys, it's amazing, and the atmosphere yesterday was great. However, as a Charlton supporter of more than 40 years, I can't help but have a nagging feeling in the back of my head saying it's going to go wrong. After all, we are plucky Charlton. I look forward to being wrong on this one, and that we will have some amazing times ahead. On a more serious note, I was so disappointed by some of our fans who started getting on the back of our players yesterday. They played their best. I guess Morgan Fox knew how that felt. He didn't deserve the reception he got either. Yeah, I was surprised to see Morgan Fox booed yesterday, but we won't dwell on that. But yeah, cheers for your email, Simon. We will be talking about the game later on. Daniel says, great show as always. I was in the middle of interviewing someone for a job when I saw the takeover news come up on my phone. As such, I couldn't go mental and instead just sat there smiling, looking delighted. I think the person we were interviewing must have thought they were doing brilliantly because of my expression and that they got the job. They didn't. That's from Dan in Dartford. If anyone was interviewing for a job in the Dartford area with a man called Dan, I've got some bad news for you.
You don't know yet.
Yeah. Right, David Todman said, great news. I hope there is no issue with the EFL fit and proper procedure. I can't imagine a business like this would announce anything if there was any possible problem. For the future, let's keep realistic expectations and rebuild the club the right way. Right, and Pete Roberts says, hi, I hope these guys have a little more business sense than our saviour, Mark Hewler, in 1984, who went straight out and bought ex-European Footballer of the Year, Alan Simonson, thinking one player could turn things around. Thank goodness we have Steve Gallen, Lee and Jackson, who have performed a miracle at the Valley. That's cheers. That's Pete, who has been Charlton since 1960. Tell us a bit more about Mark Hewler. Who was here in the Hewler years?
Mark Hullier was...
Hullier, is that right?
Yeah, sorry. Mark Hullier. He turned up, and again, yeah, we all thought he was our saviour. Because he was going to drag us all out of the sort of dark Glickstein era that we'd sort of plummeted into, I don't know if he actually bought the club, but he took over the club, but the Valley stayed in possession of the Glicksteins. And you're right. So he thought the best way to ingratiate himself with the fans was to announce that he was signing Alan Simonson, European Footballer of the Year.
Well, if this new chap signs Ronaldo tomorrow, I ain't going to moan.
No, yeah, I think we've been in a slightly better position this time than when Simonson came, because he was so far better than anybody else on the pitch. It was scary. The trouble with Hullier was he had champagne eyes and Coca-Cola pockets. That was the problem.
That's a shame. I can just imagine a front two of Taylor and Ronaldo. I reckon they work well off each other, Mark. Do you think that's that? I mean, obviously we are sort of joking about this sort of stuff, and again, you'll hear that when I speak to Elise in the interview. I make a choose between Ronaldo and Messi, I think. But this is a chance. I mean, if we go out and buy the right players in January, or even, you know, just to make sure that we stay up, then people will look at next year, Mark, and think, if we can build the right base with this management team that we know have got now a proven track record of performing well, then next year could be a real chance for us.
It could.
Am I jumping the gun a little bit?
Yeah, you are. Mm. Similar to that. I think you've got to have, you know, a good dose of reality to go alongside all the dreams we all have for it. It's a funny thing, because I was thinking about it when read all the news and said about it. And one of the reasons I said I felt so emotional, I said, because it really wasn't thinking about me. I was thinking about my boys.
Mm.
Because my dad brought me in 1983. His dad had brought him before him. And I want to bring my boys in a couple of years when they're old enough. And I want it to be a legacy for a club, because I'm thinking, there's no reason we couldn't have... Bury went out of business this season with a bad owner and bad management. And if this hadn't come along now, there's nothing to say that, you know, Roland in his wisdom and could have bankrupted us, and we could have been in a similar situation. Mm. You know, so you've got to look forward to say, right, let's do it the right way. Let's still invest in youngsters. It was something like we've only had like 71 games where we haven't had someone from our youth team come into it. You know, and are these players who you suddenly pay money for going to build into a philosophy which the manager has, or they're going to say, you know what, I'm on X amount of money? You've seen it in, I mean, we've seen it in Premiership week in, week out, mediocre players on big money who don't particularly care and aren't putting in shifts because they're earning 200,000 a week or whatever. You know, I think it's on a bigger picture of things, you still want us to be, you know, still want us to be Charlton. Okay, we're going to have better money behind us and can improve facilities as we go. I mean, I'm all for putting a roof over the Valley. At least it won't get wet. But I think you've got to look at it in a sensible way.
I think the one thing that gives me hope for that is that they're talking to Lee Bowe, because he gets it. He gets Charlton. And if anybody was at the centenary dinner, you had Kerbishley, Lawrence and Powell up on the stand, up on the stage, and they all said the same thing. And in fact, Lenny Lawrence said, this club isn't so much as doesn't just get into your blood, it's a cause. It's not a club, it's a cause.
Mm.
And that's how they approached it, and that's how they've always approached being at the club. And they said that Lebo is approaching it in a similar way, getting players who buy into that cause, the right type of players. And it looks like Steve Gallen gets it as well. Johnny Jackson certainly does. So I think the fact that they're talking to those to keep them at the club means that those are the type of players we'll get. We won't get players who are just here for the cash. You know, assuming we have sort of some decent money to spend, they're going to buy players who are going to buy into it and buy into Charlton.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a look at some more of your messages. CFC Pete says, I know the takeover hasn't actually happened until the EFL approve it, but I went to my first game at the Valley yesterday since the boycott. I just couldn't stop smiling and I didn't really care about the result. What a happy day. Yeah, it's a good point, actually. People, you know, returning from their boycott. Some people may already have. It
became welcome
too
home
much,
to all of
but
them.
They're so welcome back. It's so important, I think. You know, no matter what side you were of on the boycott debate, you know, because obviously some people felt you should, some people felt you shouldn't. Doesn't matter now. You know, everyone comes back together as one. Everyone who went away is welcome. Everyone who's always stayed is equally welcome.
I don't think it mattered before. I think everybody had to protest and show their feelings in whatever way they felt necessary. And that meant, for some, not coming. And I get it. It felt for others to be here and protest. And I get that. So everybody had their own way of doing it. There's no right or wrong, I don't think. It's but I'm glad that they have the opportunity to come back. It's great.
Right, Southwest Addict says, hope in the future stops us flogging our best players below value and having long-term decision-making strategies in place instead. Not expecting us to spend £10 million on players, but to be sensible enough to keep the likes of Aribo, Bauer and Grant at the club. Stick Bowyer, Jackson and Taylor on proper contracts and allow us to grow into becoming a force in this division. Mendon Krenasta says, surely the takeover has to go through. Friday was like when you were one of those where were you when Kennedy was shot moments. Mendon Krenasta adds that they weren't born when Kennedy was, unless they meant on Friday, in which case they've done well to have tweeted
which
quite
Kennedy,
a lot. The sense of relief, shock and emotion, unless that's some sort of alibi, is just saying, well,
I wasn't born, it wasn't me.
It's still sinking in. There's lots of things that need fixing at our football club. I really hope these guys can do it and bring the club back together again. Any news on unfit players returning? And just out of interest, 6 games to play in December, 3 at home, 3 away. How many points do you think we'll pick up? Well, Taylor might be back Saturday, which will, again, we'll get more onto the football just towards the end of the show. But yeah, excellent message, Mendon Krenasters. I believe it wasn't you with the Kennedy thing. Right, 80191261. Says, any news on what Matt Southall had to say yesterday? And I hope the reception that he received in Crossbars was appreciated. Been really impressed by Alfie Doughty in the last few games. Do you know what length his contract is? I don't actually, off the top of my head. I'll probably be able to look that up later on in the show. Yeah, Matt Southall, we mentioned his reception that he's got in Crossbars yesterday. If you have a look on my Twitter page, you can see he got a standing ovation. He had his photo taken with Vince, which I was like, ooh.
Don't let him snog you.
Don't let Vince put you off. Anyone who knows Vince will know he's a proper Charlton fan and a great character. He seemed to appreciate what he got. He was liking a lot of tweets.
Didn't he tweet out that he was overwhelmed by the reception?
Yeah, he tweeted a thank you and stuff. I mean, obviously, they're not going to say anything. We're not going to be able to speak to Matt until everything's official. Obviously, you know, I can assure you that various people have been getting in contact with various other people to make sure that stuff can happen when times go through. But I know that Matt has appreciated the warm welcome that he's received from the Charlton supporters so far. Right, Rodders 22 said, Thursday night I went to bed with the thought that we're facing Sheffield Wednesday on Saturday with practically the whole team out, feeling depressed about the injuries, not the effort of the players, and wanting us to be sold. Woke up just after 9 a.m. on Friday with a text from a friend to say we've been taken over by East Street Investments. He said, my first thought was interesting name. Andrew Muir obviously knows the history, and then only to be told it was Arabs. I had tears in my eyes, tears of joy. I immediately thought, I don't give a bleep about Saturday now. We have got our Charlton back. I couldn't stop smiling in the next 24 hours. I went to see Magic Motown on Friday night and enjoyed that. World Cup on Saturday felt similar to when we got back to the Valley in 1992, the dawn of a new era. Ever since Friday morning, it's sunk in that Bowyer will stay. There'll be no worries there. We can look to sign Cullen as long as Cullen wants to come. We don't don't have to sell the likes of Doughty ever again unless a big club come in for him, let players go for nothing or for cheap. It was so lovely to see so many happy faces again around the Valley. I came away positive in that, yes, for the next 4 weeks it's going to be tough, but we will sign players in January. I've been a supporter since 1986, and my God, we deserve to have new owners like this. Finally, special praise to each and every one of us, to the boycotters, to the protesters who got off their bums to go to Belgium, etc., to Boya and all the management team and supporters alike who've got behind this team. Thank you, and enjoy the ride ahead. That's a great message there. Lovely stuff from Rudders 22. And then finally on the forum for now, Up the Valley says, looking forward to tonight's show. As long at long last, we have some good news. And once hopefully it's cleared by the EFL, we can dream again. Where we go from here is anybody's guess. Excellent stuff. Right, that's a few messages from the Charlton Live forum. Now, I want to play you some Vox Pops I did when I went out to speak to supporters before the game yesterday. So I caught up with James and Elise outside. They were waiting to pick up their free scarves. You may remember Elise. She's the young girl who bought us some Aldi cider earlier in the season. Yeah, she knows what's right. And so I spoke to both, and we'll hear from James first. I asked James how he felt when he heard the news of the takeover.
Shock. It's been a long time coming, and you know, to actually see this day and bring the family here is something immense. You know, just hopefully we could have a massive party with a nice victory today to seal it all off.
What were your initial reactions as well to the new owners? I mean, talk of there being a fair bit of money behind them. Did you think that's what the club needed at this point?
About Champions League in a few years would be great, wouldn't it? No, yeah, it'd be nice to have a bit of investment in the club. We need it. You know, training ground needs doing up. You know, as Bo was saying in his little interview the other day, you know, it's a bit looking a bit shabby now, but you know, hopefully get a new signing, get all the contracts done. You know, Bowie, Taylor, get them signed up quick.
Yeah, because I was going to say, one of the first things they've come out and said is that they're supporting Lee Bowyer. They're going to back in with what he's trying to do. How big an announcement was that for you?
Massive, massive. I mean, for the statement they came out with meant the world to me. You know, it's not just me, but all the other supporters to say now they're going to back the side, and to actually say they're going to put supporters first, it's immense. I just can't believe it. It's a dream come true.
Is there any doubts at the back of your mind? Of course, I guess when Duchatelet first came in all those years ago, he was welcomed and people looked to the future with some sort of hope. Is there anything that you worry about, or are you just going to sort of sit back and see what happens?
It can't be worse than where it has been. You know, we've done extremely well considering what he's been doing to the club, but you know, all I can see is just positive things. You know, again, you know, when you've got new owners coming out and with that statement, I'm just hopefully they can stick to their word.
What do you hope will happen in January?
Taylor signs a new deal and keep Boya and Johnny. But yeah, so hopefully get everyone signed in. Give them a pen.
Amazing. Yeah.
Did you think this day would never come?
No, I'd never think it would come, yeah. But it finally came.
Yeah. And what have you made of the statement so far by the new owners? Obviously it's not quite over the line yet, but they've come out, they said they're going to keep Lee Bowyer as well, they said they're going to try and connect with the fans. What did you make of that?
I thought it was actually quite good.
Yeah. What are your hopes for the new ownership? What do you hope that they can achieve here at Charlton?
We go up.
Yeah. And the connection between the supporters, the clubs and the fans as well, is that something that's important?
Yeah, very, very good.
Yeah, and so if Charlton now end into January with an unlimited pot of money, which international superstar do you think we should sign?
I don't really know.
Ronaldo, Messi, which one would be best?
Don't know. Ronaldo, probably. Yeah.
And I mean, the most important thing though from the original statement is that they're going to back Lee Bowyer, and obviously he's done a very good job so far. So were you pleased to see that?
Yeah, very pleased.
Bringing the ball forward, short, good challenge from Cullen, wins it back for Chong. Can it come to Williams? Williams dives in, gets the ball, Williams on his feet, on a run. Williams, ball inside to Gallagher, it's good! Gallagher, shooting chance! Gallagher, goal! Oh, and with chance, first short goal! The Addicts take the lead, all down to the work and the determination.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back, it's Charlton Live, and we're in December now, so I'm going to be playing that on every show, aren't I? Excellent stuff. Right, we've just, Mark Newbury's gone home, thanks to Marcus. Obviously, as we know, he can only stay out till 8 o'clock, because he's got the, he actually has the kids with him today.
It turns back into a pumpkin as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So he turned up with the cake, and then he said, I'm just going to go out and get the sprouts. And I was fully expecting him to come back with some actual sprouts.
Cake and sprouts, he's a weird chef.
Yeah, so he's taking the kids back home now. His wife was here, we didn't just leave the kids in a random room at the Valley, but it is time for their bedtime. But thanks a lot to Mark Newbury for coming in for this evening's show. Thanks to James and Elisa, we just heard from them as well. And you can hear James in particular, the pair of them really, they're so there's so much hope now amongst the supporter base, and we're seeing that in the messages we're getting in this evening as well, Lewis. And that has been a real change in how the supporters feel, because, you know, like we say, on the pitch we know what we're going to get. We're going to get a team that's going to fight and battle for us in the mould of their manager, but you just wish that he'd get the help that he needed, and he's going to get that now.
Yeah, exactly. It's that big sigh of relief, not even just for us, but I imagine for Lee Bowyer. He's somebody that's said to has a sort of wheel and deal. I think he's said many a time now that to get the players in that he believes are going to strengthen us without any kind of budget or support, being smart in the loan market and the free agent market to bring in players that he feel can improve us, promote youth players that potentially might not be ready but have come in and really proven themselves. You know, the likes of George Lapsley last season, especially, I would like to see him all this season. Obviously, he's been injured, but Albie Morgan as well. And Alfie Doughty has been mentioned in those tweets there. People coming in and doing a shift. So it's going to be nice now. Take a little bit of pressure off of those players, because we have had to bloody youth players early. And sometimes we've seen that it can be a negative thing. We saw that effect on Carlin during this regime, actually, when Bob Peters was here. And it'd be nice now that we know we're going to be able to strengthen properly in the windows. We know that we're not going to lose key players in windows unless big money bids come in. I'm not silly. I know that some big clubs will be sniffing around some of our players. You know, we're not going to go out there now and stump up 15 million and sign Conor Gallagher on a permanent. I know that. But the players that we keep now, the Johnny Williamses that have come in and sort of rebooted their career through struggle. You know, he's been injured for a long time, and he's come here to prove a point. He's performed like outstandingly when he's been in the side, and he showed loyalty in the summer to come back here and make a name for himself. And it's so important to have that. There's just so much relief around the place, and honestly, I'm just like reading through Twitter at the moment, seeing everybody's tweets and stuff. It makes you emotional, because you see just how much it means to everybody. Yeah. It's quite overwhelming, but it's just an amazing feeling.
Yeah. Well, let's have a look at some of those tweets that came in. Connor Nutley says, just think how happy us teenagers are that didn't see the good old days of Charlton that my dad goes on about. I only really remember the Roland era. Can't wait for the new era of Charlton to see what that brings. It's crazy to think, you know, all of us, you know, old timers in this studio of relative degree. You know, there are people out there who probably only started going in the last 3 or 4 years, you know, maybe in their formative years of Charlton. You know, I was lucky in my formative years. We were knocking around in the Championship. Curbs was manager. It was good days. We'd get in the playoffs sometimes. Sometimes we wouldn't. Then I had the Premier League years, you know. Terry, obviously, you had the post-war years, which were...
a year after I... nearly 2 years after I first started watching Charlton, we got relegated. So I've pretty much lived through quite a bit of grief. Mm. So the last 4 or 5 years, I think, you'd have to say have been the darkest times. I mean, all right, we had the Glickstein-Hullier thing, and then the almost bankruptcy and closure. And then Selhurst, of course. And that was bad. But I don't know whether it's because we... then became, I wouldn't say a proper club, but we then harnessed the fans, came back together, got back to the Valley, and just from that period forward, we just seemed like a club that had stability, that was going somewhere. And I didn't mean, you know, winning the Premier League or anything like that, but, you know, just had that sort of feel of being a proper football club and a family football club and a community football club. And that... The feeling that that's been ripped out, or at least been attempted to be ripped out, in the last 5 years.
But it feels like we've wasted what we had before. Oh, I mean, don't forget we had problems before Duchatelet came in. We, I mean, but to have lost the, community spirit, I think, to have so much bad blood between the club and as the supporters, and I wouldn't say the club as such, but the regime was so disappointing, and I really hope that comes to an end now. Right, Spencer tweets in, the takeover is fantastic news. Once we get the players back, we will start to climb the table with the new owners back. And in January, Window Bayer can go and get the players that he wants and he needs. Richard Holmes says the excitement is unbelievable, but we should try and keep our feet on the ground. Staying in this league is still overachieving. We are overachieving. These vibes have to stay and not be replaced by inflated expectations based on our new ownership. Yeah, I mean, because if the takeover gets ratified by the EFL tomorrow, we're still going to have all these injuries. We're still going to have players sick, yeah. And we still won't be able to do anything about it until January. Right, 100% Charlton says, so please, for the future of this club and our supporters, that the pending sale is so close, still waiting for that EFL approval, but surely it's a done deal now. Boya and Taylor need new contracts and hopefully some new arrivals in January to help out. So happy it's over. Up the Reds. Cliff Scale, I'm still stunned by what has happened. Just unbelievable news. Bayer, Jackson and Gallen will finally get the contracts that they deserve, and we will have money to spend in the window. Yesterday, the boys battled so hard. It was very harsh, the scoreline, but in the end, we will bounce back. Right, right. Bill says, like Oshilaja's head, we're rather massive. talk about it, the club now to take over. Ant says, big fingers crossed that the EFL will allow this takeover to happen. No spanners in the works, hopefully. John says, Charlton Reserves losing to Wednesday didn't dampen my mood. I'd like to know if the new owners are as rich as I've seen on the forums. If so, it sounds very promising. Will Bolland says, what did I tell you at the start of the season? What did I tell you last season? What did I tell you the previous season? Keep the faith. We may have lost yesterday, but I've never felt more positive about our future, brackets subject to EFL approval. Sarah Saunders said, I just couldn't believe it. I thought this day would never come. Merry Christmas. Tanoon Nimmer's Barmy Army says, I thought the day would never come and now things only look positive. Obviously pending EFL approval, but from what Bose has said, things definitely seem on the up. Chicken Fried Kentucky said, one signing in January and signing Bose and the team, Taylor and Williams on extending deals will do me nicely. Obviously, if we're still struggling for injuries, bring in some more bodies, but I wouldn't ask for too much money or transfers at this stage. Sebo says, all I can say is good riddance to the rat. Tanoon Nimir's Barmy Army's back, says, seeing Matt Southall liking fans' tweets left, right and centre makes me extremely optimistic. I mean, it doesn't take a second to like a tweet, but it's just about getting off on the right foot. And like I say, that's what Matt seems to have done, or tried to make sure he's done so far.
Yeah, definitely. Such little things like the thank you he put on Twitter yesterday, just retweeting a picture of himself in the fans' bar, meeting and greeting people. I mean, you know, it, like you say, it takes a couple of seconds, but he didn't have to do it, and he has. And it's nice because we've been used to having nothing, you know, absolutely nothing. And to see someone in and about the fans bar shaking hands with supporters and saying hello.
What Matt needs to know is that the only other thing that the supporter base, that everyone who comes to the ground wants to see, is working Wi-Fi in a press gun.
Yeah, exactly.
And if he can make that the next thing after the pies, then I'll be all the supporters would love him for it.
Working Wi-Fi anywhere would be a bonus.
Yeah. Right, Ben, first thing to be done is to secure the management team of Steve Gallen and Steve Gallen on proper contracts, then get big players like Lyle Taylor and Johnny Williams on new and improved deals as well. Spend a little in January to bolster the squad. Investment needs to be done in a structured way. I'm liking the way that people are thinking about, obviously we're joking about Ronaldo and Messi, but a lot of people are coming in saying let's build that foundation, let's make sure that we do this properly.
Yeah, and I think they're all right, and you get the impression, at least, that yes, they are making right noises, and okay, they might be good salesmen in that respect, but they've also said, I think, in the statement on the website, wasn't it, that they're going to talk to supporters groups as a matter of priority. Won't necessarily be the first thing they do, but it'll be a priority to discuss with all the supporters, get some fan engagement involved, and that's a key, because you know we've seen the power of Charlton fans over our existence, really. But you know, when you consider it was fans that dug out this ground so we could play football on it, fans got us back here. And fans were instrumental in protesting against the ownership over the last 5 years. If they can harness that, you know, the power that the fans clearly have, if they can harness it in a good way, then they've got a phenomenal asset.
Certainly have. Right, David Nichols says it was the best Christmas present ever. They seem the real deal, having the dosh to buy out Roland completely and give Louis pies again. Yep. December and January will show their ambition, i.e. long-term deals for Bowyer and his team and Lyle, and signings in terms of fees and wages. Stay up, and then we should really go for it next summer. Rag says that the interview with Lee Bowyer is starting to get them excited, which is good to hear. Ross Ramsey says, lock Bowyer, Lyle, Johnny Williams and Steve Gallen in at the Valley for the foreseeable future. Should survive just fine on those new pies in the press room. Tim Ruffles says, the first transfer window for ages. I'm not dreading and thinking how much is our best player going to go for. Usually a pittance, brackets. Says they are super excited. Robbie Petty says, these golden management lads, Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson, have the next generation of Charlton supporters wanting to be lifelong fans. The feel-good factor is back through adversity and now hopefully for a community and team effort. A new chapter thanks to JJ and Bose. Yeah, and as photos of Robbie's sons with the two management teams at the Junior Reds Christmas party, whatever it's called now, the Young Addicts Christmas party early on. Right, Ryan Tate says, great to see the new owners and to be able to compete in the market. I really hope they deliver what they have said they will do. I think we are struggling defensively, so would like to see some defenders coming in January. I don't think we need that much more to stay up, to be honest. Dave Boy says he's already booked his tickets for the 2024 Champions League final. That's the way. Charlton Exile, can't listen live tonight, but please pass on my heartfelt congratulations and most of all my thanks to everyone involved with Charlton, both the protesters and the employees for their part in keeping our great club alive. Here's to the future. Come on, you Reds. Freddie is wondering whether prices will go up now, match day tickets, shirts, etc. It's way too early to tell that, and you'd hope not. Again, that wouldn't be a good way to endear yourself to the fans early doors to put up prices, but we'll see what happens with that. French Addict says, absolutely buzzing. It's one of those moments that you will remember exactly where and what you were doing when the news broke. A huge six-pointer on Saturday against Middlesbrough. Hopefully Taylor and Williams are back. Kev would like to see new contracts for Bowyer, Jackson and Gallen and the rest of the incredible coaching staff as well. Sebo says, didn't have an early job on Friday, so I was up at 9:30, got my tea, sat down at my laptop in my dressing ground, logged on to the official site and it said something about East Street. I thought it was to do with our food outlet as my brain was still not in gear. And then I saw a takeover. By then, I was wide awake. I thought, wow, just hoped and still hope that the EFL will rubber stamp it. All I can say now is good riddance to Roland Rat. Dan Burke said he even had a good new mascot outfit to wear yesterday. So things are already on the up. John says, why is Murray still sniffing around the new owner? It sticks in my throat that he's still involved in any way after the way he supported Roland for his entire tenure. By all means, sit in the West Stand and watch games, but keep your nose out of future business. Well, we don't know what Richard Murray's position is going to be in the new regime in any way. He was sat in director's box yesterday, still the non-executive director, I believe, so there's no reason for him not to be sat there currently, but obviously he was sat next to Matt Southall, so it'd be interesting to see what role he plays going forward, but again, we'll find out as we go forward. London Innit Geezer says, just home from work and got to say, we're bleeding bloody rich. Get in there, my son. See you all on the Booze Express to Middlesbrough next week. Chris says, I've been going Charlton since 1981. For me, this is as big as leaving and returning to the Valley. It says, oh, what a great show as always. Cheers for that, Chris. Yeah, a lot of people saying, you know, I was chatting to Nozzer David Norris yesterday. His father was a director here and was, you know, passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years back now, so wasn't here. But his father always said that he felt the day that Roland was gone would be as big as coming back to the Valley.
I think, and Lewis said it earlier, you know, when you started reading the tweets and the news and as it broke and the announcement on the Charlton webpage, you were shaking, you know, and it's hairs on the back of the neck stuff and you're thinking, my, what, you know, is it really this real? Is this really happening? And I think that's right, that last tweet. It's very similar to the feeling that when we're coming back to the Valley, because we had a couple of false dawns in that. We had to go to Upton Park and, you know, we thought we were only going to be there like a couple of weeks and we were there a season and a half. So when we finally got back here, you know, you didn't quite believe it until you walked through those Valley gates on the day on December the 5th. So this has that same feel. When it finally happens, you know, when it finally gets ratified, whatever, there's going to be an explosion of emotion, I think. Certainly from my neck of the woods.
Certainly. I mean, Bob's tweeting in saying, evening guys, do we know excuse me, if the new owners have purchased the club lock, stock and barrel. That seems to be the case from what I've heard.
Yep.
And again, I'm sure more will come out in the wash when it's all been ratified by the EFL.
The noise is coming out, and it's everything, including the ex-directors, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I've been told. But let's wait until it all comes out properly. Right, Peter O'Sullivan says, enjoying the show. It's great news of a takeover with EFL approval. Seen some comments about being the new rich club on social media, but within reason, let's hope we keep our humility. After all, we are well aware of clubs at the other end of the spectrum. London Geezer says, I think we're still paying for Alan Simonson.
That's about right.
Best player I've ever seen in a Charlton shirt, bar none. Roger says, the East Street lot is better than the last lot, Sesame Street. Lovely stuff from Roger there. Right, we've got 12 minutes left. Let's start talking about football.
Was there a game?
There was a game of football here at the Valley yesterday. Didn't go to plan. Let's have a quick listen to the goals from that game. Your commentators over in Valley Pass were, of course, Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Michael Fox making a run down the Charlton right, and it's gone his direction. Matthews across. Bond's back there helping. Back to Bannon. Bannon swings it in to the head of Fletcher, and he's guided it into the left-hand corner, and that is a goal.
It's a lovely ball in from Bannon, but I think Sarr could have been a little bit tighter. Fletcher's header's fantastic as well. He's just used the pace of Bannon's cross just to divert in the far post. Sarr out to left to Doughty. Doughty trying to touch past his man. It's a lovely touch. And he's got past Harris as well. Doughty crossing opportunity towards the near post. Comes to Bond. Bond with a shot. Deflection.
Yes!
Come on! Show on a level!
Yes!
All the work comes from Alfie Doughty on the left-hand side. Brilliant play from the youngster making his first league start. Board of the box comes to Macaulay Bond. Little toe poke, took a couple of deflections, and Charlton a level.
Well, we just saw the two sides of a young player playing in his first league start. Alfie Doughty just got caught cold at left back for that last chance for Sheffield Wednesday, but on this occasion he did what we know he can do and what he does best. He received the ball 10 yards inside the Sheffield Wednesday half on the left hand side, just touched it past Odabaju and left him for dead. Superb cross into the box for Macaulay Barney. I thought at first he might have been just behind him, but he managed to get enough on it, took a deflection and left Dawson grasping air, and Charlton are back on level two.
He tries to send Luongo further right. Austin has tracked him. Luongo though has the ball, trying to take him on the outside. Oh. He skies a penalty. Oh, I think that's a penalty. He's given it as well. I thought it was when it first happened. He must have had a word with his linesman.
He was tiring, Osuma. He was tiring. He didn't want to chase him on the overlap.
Fletcher steps forward. Scores. And then does, in the face of Dylan Phillips, classless. Absolutely classless. Sheffield Wednesday's just happy to hold the ball. We've only got a minute left. And Sheffield Wednesday cleared out the left-hand side. Chip back across the air with an open goal. Can't miss. Tough on Charlton, but with the bodies forward, Naby Sarr not there, asked to go forward, it was predictable enough.
Yeah, you just can't be critical, can you, really? I mean, that's a rare chance they've had this second half, really. And unfortunately for Charlton, it'll read 3-1, it's a little bit harsh on them.
Yeah, I think Stubbers got it right there, saying that felt harsh, 3-1, you know. And we were in that game. Even after 2-1, I felt we were going to go and nick something and maybe nick a point at the end. But at 1-1, you know, a scary moments in that first half, and when they had that disallowed goal, we got back into it, and then it was pretty even.
I was just explaining, Lewis, that my reason for screaming quite so loud was because relief, I guess, because, you know, the disallowed goal plus the goal that they did score, I thought we were going to be on the end of a bit of a hammering with the side we had out. But they did superbly well to come back in. In fact, after the goal, I thought we were a better side for the next 20 minutes. And Doughty was superb down that left-hand side. Absolutely superb.
I mean, of all the youngsters that have come in, Lewis, over the last few weeks, you know, they've all done bits and pieces that look good. But, I mean, Alfie was probably the standout performer in the championship yesterday.
Oh, he was absolutely incredible. What impressed me most is that obviously he was forced to take up a bit of an unfamiliar position, wasn't he, in a bit of a left wing back role with Parrington pulling out through sickness. And I sort of looked at that and I thought, oh, he's been thrown at the deep end here. You know, he's starting, he's playing slightly out of position. I hope he copes with it. And you know what? Not even just his offensive play, but defensively, I thought he was fantastic. Mm. And some of the pace he has is crazy. And I was so glad he managed to get that assist yesterday. And he's done himself no favours in sort of giving Lee Bowyer a bit of a headache in where he slots him into that team, because I think he played really well.
Well, let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer made of yesterday's game with Sheffield Wednesday. A defeat in the end, but he was still proud of the display that he got from his side.
Pros and cons from today, I think. Obviously, don't like losing any game. And we've just lost a game. So, yes, I'm disappointed. But I've just said to the players there that you should keep your heads up high, because you've given everything again. That's all you can ask. Okay, they had a bit more quality than us, but to fight to the end like we did, they only scored the third because obviously we were going for it, and the second was a penalty, and we was in the game. And we've got all the problems that we have with all the injuries and the illnesses, and we're still competing. We've got kids that are playing, you know, against these proper top international players, Championship players, Premiership players, you know, that, and we competed with them, and I didn't think they was much better than us. So I said to the players, look, I'm proud of you. Our fans just clapped us off. They see what the players are giving them, you know. The atmosphere was electric. They tried their hardest, the fans, to try and get us that second goal. We just couldn't get it, and unfortunately for us, they go down the other end and then get a penalty, and that's how we've lost today, from a penalty, you know.
Got caught with a quality finish, you have to say, from Fletcher for their first goal in the quarter of an hour. But after that, he must have been delighted with the way we came back in the game, played some good football, good opportunities, scored some lovely work from Alfie Doherty on the left-hand side to create the goal. So at that point, you must have been thinking, you know, we've played really well. We could get something out of today's game. And then two penalties, really, I guess. The one that Sheffield Wednesday got, and the one that we did. Did you see much of the Tom Lockyer claim for a penalty?
No, I just see Tom flying through the air, if I'm honest. And I thought, well, something's happened there. I've not seen it, but for him to react the way he did then says that he's been pushed. But I didn't see it from. I just see him flying through the air. So, but again, big decisions to change games, you know. And like what you're saying there, we didn't get one, and they did, and it's cost us today.
But, I mean, you mentioned it before, the injuries we knew about, and then of course, then you get the illnesses on top of that. You must be thinking everything's conspiring against you, from a footballing point of view, at least. That you're having about five subs again today. You must be looking forward to when this period finishes.
Yeah, the injuries, that is what it is, and that'll sort itself out. We've got a few coming back for next week, so which will be good. Lowell being one of them. So that'll be a bonus for us, and the illnesses like Ben Pewton this morning, the goalie, obviously the sub goalie, Ashley, pair of them, and then Albie was sick before the game, half time, like in the dressing room, and so we had to take him off and then put on Vennings, who's not even played 10-23 games yet. He's just a kid, and he done well, so there's positives, you know. Alfred Doherty playing left back, no, he's not a left back, but he was excellent. All the players were outstanding for me. They can't do no more than what they're doing. They're giving everything, but they had a bit more quality than us on the day, because in the first half we got into so many good areas, and I think, well, now just take care of this pass or that part, and then we didn't, and we didn't use our overload in the middle of the park in as much as what we should have done. So, but we just competed with a good Sheffield Wednesday team, and we didn't look out of place, and that's with so many people out. So
with that in mind,
so there we go. That was Lee Bowyer speaking to Terry after yesterday's defeat against Sheffield Wednesday. I'm not going to dwell on it too much because you know, it was an okay performance with a lot of players out. The big news there, though, Lyle Taylor should be available for the trip to Middlesbrough next week. Right, a couple more messages, I think, to end the show. Tony says he arrived late to the party on Friday morning. And then I do have to put my hands up. I as a joke, when he put on Twitter, does anyone know if this takeover stuff is real? I just said no, it's not real to him. I was bored at work, so I thought, yeah. So I messed with his head a bit, but he said he had pure happiness when it sank in that we got rid of Roland. He finally got a club back. He says he's happy that the new owners seem to have a long-term plan and want to involve fans going forward. He doesn't want instant success, but he does want to have a competitive side in whatever division we're in. Lee Bayer and his team have started to bring back the pride of supporting Charlton. Let's all work together to be successful. He says, finally, I would just like to give a massive thank you to us, the Charlton Live team. It's been amazing over the last 5 years, keeping up the positivity and bringing us two brilliant shows a week. Cheers for that, Tony, and good to see you. He was over last week for the Cardiff game. Just missed it. You could have been here. Could have been for the takeover, but he just missed it. But never mind. Phil says, couldn't get to the match yesterday due to a family party. But he wants to talk about the new owners yesterday, saying that consistently saying what has to be our goal is to move forward as a club. He says in the short term, they need to engage with fan groups. Long term, they need contracts, of course, for Bayer, Jackson and Gallen and the rest of the staff and Taylor and Williams. In January, sign Cullen, sign a striker, sign a left back, ship out Kyle, Hemed and Page, cement a mid-table finish. In the medium term, a bit of summer spending and push for the playoffs finish at the training ground. It can't be right that players eat in a porter cabin and the youth team change in lorry containers. Says the long-term dream is to be the Leicester City of the South, Premier League, and to increase the valley capacity up to 35,000. That's from Phil Callum. We had Pete Roberts says he reckons that we have a squad that is top six when it's full strength, as we've proven against some of the top sides. The squad size and strength has proven, though, our recent downfall. And Matthias says it was the Johnson derby yesterday. Matthias Johnson, he lives in Sheffield, and obviously there'll be a lot of people he knows who support Sheffield Wednesday. Was very impressed with Alfie Doughty's performance yesterday. I thought Dylan Phillips made some good saves as well. Says negatives, though, has to be the defensive problems that we have at the moment, shipping cheap goals. And, of course, Tom Lockyer getting a stupid yellow card, which leaves him booked and suspended for next week up at Middlesbrough. So he's really happy about the takeover. Found out on lunchtime on Friday. I really hope that the takeover is nothing but positive. Right, we have run out of time here on Charlton Live. It's been a special show for us, all of us involved, because you know, we've wanted this takeover as much as everyone else. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Thanks to all of you who've got involved. I hope I've got to everyone, because we have a lot of messages in today. So if I've missed any messages, I'm really sorry. But thanks to all of you who've taken the time to send us a tweet or an email or a message board post. I feel like this is a pretty positive time to be a Charlton Athletic supporter. Right, Terry and Lewis, thanks for being here with me.
Cheers, Lou. Thanks,
good
everyone.
To see you both. We'll be back here on Thursday evening with the big match preview as we look ahead. No matter how many takeovers you have, you still got to go to bloody Middlesbrough next Saturday. I mean, if the not happy about that, if the owners are rich enough, maybe they could get Middlesbrough to move a bit further south.
Well, our home games could be in Abu Dhabi.
Well, that's a lot of travelling as well, as long as they bring the Valley Cap with them. Right, let's end the show here. I've been Louis Meadows. Thank you for listening this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. Let's hope that the future is nothing but rosy here at the Valley. We'll see you on Thursday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.